Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Cara, acne can be tough. Whether your kid is just starting to get breakouts or has been struggling with them for years, there's a great product that can help.
Phyla is the ultimate game changer. It tackles acne right at its root cause, rebalancing the skin's bacteria and packing it with probiotic phages.
Phyla harnesses the superpowers of probiotics, tiny warriors targeting and wiping out the acne-causing bacteria. In studies, Phyla slashed acne-causing bacteria by a whopping 90%.
Phyla doesn't just fix acne you can see. It stops new breakouts in their tracks. It has no harsh chemicals and won't irritate or dry most skin. Phyla's three-step system is like a dermatologist-approved magic potion. Cleanse, apply serum, and moisturize twice a day.
As a special treat for our listeners, you can grab 25% off your first order of Phyla. Head over to phylabiotics.com, enter code PUBERTY at checkout, and kickstart your family's journey to acne-free skin. Check out the link in our show notes for quick access.
Welcome to This Is So Awkward, the podcast. I'm Dr. Cara Natterson.
And I'm Vanessa Kroll Bennett. Everyone on Earth goes through puberty, so it shouldn't be cringy.
With science, guidance, and humor, we cover all of the physical, emotional, and social changes that happen between the ages of 8 and 18.
We have tons more on lessawkward.com, where members can get answers to all of their questions all of the time. This stage of life is awkward for everyone involved, but it doesn't have to be.
Okay, buckle up and let's get into today's episode.
Costume change. You may remember us as Vanessa and Cara from the Puberty Podcast, but now
we're still Vanessa and Cara, but we have a new name. This Is So Awkward, the podcast.
We're new and improved. Let's just put it that way. And to celebrate our evolution as human beings and as a podcast, we are going to tackle a big, messy, tricky topic today.
The reason behind our name change is because we cover so much more than puberty. We cover everything that's tangentially related to puberty, which is really the universe of awkward conversations. And this episode is about one of the more awkward conversations. And it's a starter episode. What I mean by that is some of you may have read an editorial that just got published in the New York Times on Sunday, April 14th, written by Peggy Ornstein. And that editorial talked about new data on sexual violence in general and choking in particular. Now, this episode is not going to cover choking specifically. Oh, don't you worry. We're going to be doing that episode and having really, really great conversations with Peggy. And ideally, we're hoping to also do an episode and have conversations with Debbie Herbenick, who is the researcher behind the very large body of research that supports what Peggy wrote in her editorial. So we're going to get there. But in order to get there, you got to have baby steps into conversations about sexual aggression and sexual violence. This is what this episode is, right, Vanessa? This is the sort of 101 level. How in the world do I begin to bring up these subjects with a kid in my life so that one day I can get to, you know, big gulp, a conversation about choking?
We have heard from many listeners over the years who are trying to understand how to talk about things like sexual assault and rape in their own histories, in their own families, as a preventative measure. That's not what today's episode is about, although we will also cover that. But again, as Cara said, we need to help establish the baseline for everybody on how to have the initial conversations in order to then scaffold up to these much more complex and fraught topics. So if you've listened to our conversation on how to talk to high school age kids about sex, and we did one for high school, middle school, and younger kids, grade school, I think we called it. If you haven't listened to those, you should definitely listen to the one that's applicable to the kids in your life. And we may repeat some stuff here because some of it's fundamental and important. But we didn't get into the like more complex, more kind of even trickier topics in that episode. So this is where we're going to get a little
granular.
Further afield. I was going to say granular, but I was like, I don't know. Is that like a gross word?
Okay, wait. Vanessa, this is a good moment for us to pause and say, we're going to link to all those episodes in the show notes, but today we are launching a membership. And the membership that we are launching is for any adult who loves and cares about any tween or teen and wants content and information about them. You can get every piece of content we've ever created through the membership. You go to lessawkward.com and you go to the community tab to find out how you become a member. The reason I'm mentioning that now is that it's a very easy way to search up any podcast we've ever done. So if you put into our library search that you want an episode about how to talk about sex, you will find, frankly, you'll find everything. You'll find our social media posts. You'll find our newsletters. It's so cool.
Vanessa. It's so cool. So like literally you can find anything we've ever written, said, recorded about it. And the whole idea is that people say to us all the time, like, I wish you could just come sit next to me while I venture into this stage of life.
Wish no more.
Wish no more. Like it is like we're sitting next to you. We're in your ear. We're on, Cara likes to say we're the good devil and the bad devil on your shoulder, but I'm
not
concerned.
I know.
I'm concerned who's who. So I'm not going to use that. But that was the whole purpose because we hear from people, I know you would have covered this. I don't remember. I read it somewhere. I heard it somewhere. Now you don't have to wonder. You can just become a member and check it out and get all of the resources that you need. So in that vein, Cara, do you want, this is heavy. I mean, when I did the Instagram reel about Peggy's op-ed and Debbie Herbernick's research, people were like, oh my God, you're so brave.
The viral reel. I mean,
the viral reel. Yeah.
People, I don't know who's watched more Vanessa content this week, the people who are watching that reel or the people who are watching the Drew Barrymore show reel where Drew Barrymore
shoves her face in my armpit. It was like,
this is amazing. So let's get into this. And I want to start the conversation with you, Vanessa, by talking about where we get our information. So we research everything like crazy, right? We've read all the data. We're talking to all the experts. And by experts, what we mean are people who do this for a living and are dedicated to these very specific niche topics in their daily life. But we also talk to kids. We talk to kids of all ages constantly. And on the subject of sexual violence and sexual aggression, the most common response I get when I ask a kid, hey, how would you suggest a parent or a trusted adult approach these conversations? Okay, Vanessa, what do you think the most common, well, I know you know because you asked this question too, but what's the most common response?
You mean besides don't?
Yeah, well, that's the most common response. It's like, sometimes it's like a physical hand up, like just stop, you know. There is zero interest, let me be really clear, zero interest in the initial approach to this topic.
Right, no kid is going to be like, oh yes, pretty please, let's talk about rough sex and choking.
Correct.
And like, no. They're not going to like beg you for that conversation.
I'm going to argue that is a notable difference from conversations even about contraception or other sex-related topics where they're so commonplace that kids are willing to engage. Like on this one, the first toe in the water, no matter how old your kid, and I would argue the older your kid, the more likely you are to get this response, the first toe in the water gets a hard no. Nope, nope, not interested. Thanks. I'm good. And so this is one where when you begin to broach this subject, we implore you, do not think that the day that it works for you is going to be the day that it works for the kid in your life, because you may have the special kid who is willing and open and receptive, but chances are the first and maybe second and maybe third time you broach this topic, you will have a physical or verbal or both response that indicates very clearly, come back another time.
So, I mean, you all know that Cara and I have slightly different styles, sometimes similar, but often different. And in this case, I don't ask for permission to have the conversation. It sounds more like, hey, I read this op-ed in the Times this weekend, and it really concerned me. I want to talk about it. So here's what I read, and I'm wondering how you react to that. And I wasn't like, you know, let me know when you're free to talk about rough sex. Because the answer would be never. I'm never free. But like certain things with kids, we just have to have the conversation in some way, shape, or form. And that might even be three sentences with no response and no dialogue. It's a one-way monologue. Hey, kiddo, I read this article. It really concerned me. I just want to get clear on a few points. And then you always close with, if you ever need me, I am always here to talk about it. No judgment, no shame. If that's the only version that you can get out in your household or in your life, then that's the version you do. But that is a better version than doing nothing.
And this is even true for grade school kids, for fourth and fifth and sixth graders who are just getting entry-level lessons about sex in school, who are just getting entry-level conversations with parents at home. Remember, these kids are seeing porn. I mean, we don't really want it to be our kid who's seeing porn, but 50% of 12-year-olds in this country have been porn exposed. So those conversations are happening for them with or without you. And so to start to toe into why sexual violence is A, not okay, and B, not the sex you wish for your kid is actually really important, starting at very, very young ages.
Right. So for kids that age, and this is actually the response we gave on the Drew Barrymore show, because she had a couple asking this very question about, hey, we know our kid was exposed to porn and, you know, how do we handle it? For kids that age, you go back to your baseline values, which are consent and respect and emotional and physical safety, right? And it's super easy in their lives, because they don't know what the hell they're seeing on porn. Like they may see the porn, but they don't even understand what they're seeing. But it's like, hey, when you're in line and somebody pushes you to get out of the way and you tell them to stop and they don't stop, how does that feel? Like, how do you handle that? What do you say? Right? So you use real life applicable kid conversations, kid topics to address the related topics down the road. So you're not like,
that's right.
Hey, sixth grader, we're going to talk about rough sex today. Because like, that's also not going to fly. But you can say like, hey, we're going to talk about when someone touches you in a way that you really don't like. What do you say? What do you do? How do you handle it?
That's right. Vanessa, we literally have 3 minutes to eat lunch every day. I am not joking. And the challenge is how to make it delicious and healthy and still fit into that tiny window. Our answer is Factor's ready-to-eat meals. They have been a godsend.
We throw our Factor meals in the microwave. It takes 2 minutes and out comes a gorgeous, fresh, never frozen meal. We both love the tamale vegetarian one. It's delish. There's a ton of options every week. There's 60 add-ons, breakfast, snacks, beverages. I love doing the wellness shots with my kids. They think it's hilarious and I know they're getting vitamins and minerals in their bodies.
So get meals on your table or at your desk in 2 minutes or less. Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, and cleaning. You can customize with flexibility to get as much or as little as you need, and you can press pause or reschedule depending upon your lifestyle.
So to order, go to factormeals.com/puberty50 and use the code puberty50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That code is puberty50 at factormeals.com/puberty50 to get 50% off your first box, 20% off your next box. And I am going to go do that right now because I need more Factor meals in my refrigerator. Cara, lately I have been lying awake at night. I'm physically exhausted, but I can't sleep because my mind is so wired with everything going on between work and my family. So I've added Magnesium Breakthrough to my nightly routine, and it actually helps calm my mind. It helps me get better sleep, and I wake up feeling better rested. I'm less cranky, and I'm more patient with my family and with you.
Oh, I've noticed. And it's because, unlike other magnesium supplements that might give one or two formulations of magnesium, Magnesium Breakthrough has 7. That's why you're sleeping so well and waking up refreshed. Now, dietary supplementation is always best, Vanessa. So that means eating your minerals and vitamins is the best way to get them in. But if you can't or you don't get enough, Magnesium Breakthrough is the way to go. It can also help digestion, though too much helps your digestion too much, which is not a good thing. It can support muscle recovery, so bye-bye, Charlie horses. And it helps build dense bones, which is especially important for women approaching and in menopause.
We have an exclusive offer for our listeners. You can go to buyoptimizers.com/puberty, buyoptimizers.com/puberty. And you can use the code puberty10 during checkout to save 10%. That promo code is puberty10 at buyoptimizers.com/puberty. Your body and brain and family and business partner will thank you. Cara, my kids love Magic Spoon cereal, and even though it's cereal, they actually love it as a homework snack. The variety pack has 4 flavors, cocoa, fruity, frosted, and peanut butter, and fruity is the favorite flavor in my house.
Now, this pack has 0 grams of sugar, between 13 and 14 grams of protein, and between 4 and 5 grams of net carbs per serving. It's made with wholesome ingredients, no artificial flavors or dyes, and it's high in protein, gluten-free, grain-free, and soy-free. So a great choice, Vanessa.
You can go to magicspoon.com/puberty to grab a variety pack and try it today. And be sure to use our, you guessed it, promo code puberty at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident you're going to love their product. It's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they will refund your money. No questions asked. They do not want you to send their cereal back to them.
Try a bowl of Magic Spoon cereal today at magicspoon.com/puberty and use the code puberty to save $5. I had a conversation with one of my own children, and I was given permission to share this, so I'm going to share it, where I said, okay, what's the best way in for parents? What's your opinion? After we got through the 10 minutes on why there's no way in, and this is not an interesting conversation for anyone, which I really appreciated all of the arguments against having this conversation, when I wouldn't let it go, the response I got, it was so interesting to me, was, well, and by the way, I had not asked about school sex education. I had not, okay? And the answer I got was, well, if it's taught in school, it feels to me like it'll be more manageable. And I said, that's so interesting. Manageable, is that the word you mean? I said, do you mean normalized? Do you mean actionable? He goes, no. I mean, he said, kind of normalized, but really manageable. And I dug down, and what became clear is that in this one child's life, so in, you know, an N of one, as we like to say in science, but I thought a powerful N, he said, things that are taught in school are things that happen to the majority. They're things that are important enough or relevant enough that school feels that they need to take the time to address it. He said, sometimes things that are taught in school, it's not that they happen to the majority, but the consequences are so dire and so scary that you have to cover it. He goes, but when it comes to sex ed, in his experience, it's sort of the more mainstream experiences are covered in sex ed curricula. And the higher risks, sort of the risks that happen to more people, are covered in sex ed. And he said, so I'd say this should be outsourced to sex educators. They should do this teaching because then kids get the message that it's actually a real thing that's happening to more kids. I found that fascinating, Vanessa. I mean, I don't know if it was a way to get that conversation to stop at home, and that's what that was, but I had never really thought about the fact that information is actually delivered in school being sort of a validator for how relevant that information is. And that's what I was hearing.
Right. I mean, the challenge is your kid goes to a progressive school in California.
And has me as his mother.
And like, has you as his mother, who's spoken at his school, who's taught at his previous school. Like,
so an N of one, truly an N
truly
of one.
An N of one. But his point, which I'm going to sort of expand to mean, if more than just you, i.e. the parent, is talking about it, it feels like it should be talked about. And that's what he's saying. It's like, if it's just you, then I don't want to say I don't trust it to be an issue I should be concerned about, because—
No, you can say that.
Right. But I know your kid trusts you, but I mean, trust in this very specific sense, which is like, you know, our kids look at us and they're like, oh my God, here we go. I mean, I got in trouble when I was visiting my oldest because I brought up some topic at like a gathering of kids and parents that like we would just totally talk about in our family, but clearly isn't necessarily talked about in other people. And he pulled me aside and he's like, Mom, I know you think this is totally normal to talk about this stuff, but like most people don't talk about this stuff in public. So can you just like rein it in? And I said, I'm so sorry. Yes, I can. I swear I am capable. But it made me realize that like our norm is different than other people's norm. And yet, back to his point about like who's talking about it, where is it talking about it? I think he's also like, if it's about someone's safety, right? Which the question of sexual violence, rough sex, all these sexual mores that are being informed by violent and aggressive porn, that is about safety. And if you think about the sex ed we had growing up, it was entirely about safety. And I don't want to go back to that sex ed. We have not written a curriculum. Our curriculum is not about—
because it's not fear-based. Yeah.
Right. But there is a place to address it in every corner. Now, we have tons of health and sex educators who listen to this podcast. And I know what they would say, which is like, oh my God, please don't just leave it up to us to cover this topic. Like, everybody should be talking about it because it's so big and heavy.
So I'm so glad you said that, because I said to him exactly those words. I was like, I'm going to rep the team of sex educators now. Are you saying this should be totally outsourced? Because, you know, I don't believe that. You know, you don't believe that. Conversations at home are as important as conversations at school. They build on one another, blah, 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 right? The whole thing. And that's when he said his second point that is actually maybe my favorite piece of advice he's ever given me. He said, Mom, the thing is, parents in particular often blow their wad on stupid things.
Which is like a very relevant metaphor to use.
I mean, very. So I said, tell me about that. Give me an example. He really struggled to give an example, at which point I said, is that because, you know, there are no examples of when I've blown my wad? And he was laughing and he was like, no, 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 there are plenty of examples. They're just not coming to mind. But when he finally dug down, he said, okay, here's an example. Get off your phone. Go do your homework. clean up your room. If a parent is leaning into their kid doing one or two or all three of those things on a given evening, and then they think they're going to be able to dive into a deep and meaningful conversation with their kid about something like sexual violence, they are wrong. He said, we are designed to tune you out after a certain number of requests. When you say to me, did you clean your room? Did you clean your room? Did you clean your room? I am tuning you out. And now if you want to swing in with a deep and meaningful and important conversation, I'm in tune out mode. Like, I'll physically be there. I'm not listening. And he said, so the best advice that I would give any other parent or caretaking adult is don't blow your wad if you want to have one of these important conversations. If on a given day you want to talk about something, let go of the do your homework, get off your screen, and focus the energy on the bigger conversation.
Right. So he's, I think that's amazing advice for anything. And basically what he's saying is like, you got to put some deposits in the bank before you can take a withdrawal. Like,
that's
if
right.
The bank account is empty, then there's no money to take out. There's no conversation to be had. And that may mean planning ahead. That may mean picking your battle in a given week or a given night. Some of these conversations are not going to happen organically. You may not have the perfect moment to have them, but you're choosing to have them. I want to dive in, Cara, to some specific kinds of conversations we're realizing that need to be had. Again, we're going to give examples of what it would sound like with an older kid, and then we can sort of back into how you right. lay the groundwork for those. But some of the things that we have heard about from the teens that we talk to, and some of these things were in the article and some of them weren't, but are related to the research that Debbie Herbernick does in general and other amazing researchers and sex educators. So things like choking, right? That was one thing that came up in the article. The technical name is sexual strangulation. And one of the comments we got on Instagram was, you know, from someone who works in domestic violence. And she said, it's not choking. You choke on food. It's strangulation, right? It's one yeah. person doing it to another. Colloquially, it can be known as choking. Technically, yes, she is correct. But also the wonderful thing about Instagram is I was worried about the post being banned or taken down. And so I was trying to avoid language that might get it blocked. But there is a sensitivity. And again, I'm reiterating, these are foundational conversations about consent, respect, safety. This is not an episode intended to address rape and sexual assault, right? That is another episode that we will do. So language matters. And also sometimes the language kids understand and know is different than the technical terminology.
Yeah. And I want to back into the younger age group for a minute. Like I said at the top, I promise we're going to get deep into the article that Peggy wrote on a different episode. But this being the foundational piece, let's talk about how then you apply exactly what you were just describing, Vanessa, to kids who are not yet sexually active. So they are setting expectations for what sex might look like, for how to do it safely. Something you talk about so beautifully all the time is making sure that there's room for conversation about love and conversation about attraction, like all the wonderful positives that go along with this, so that we are not always fear-based. But how do you actually bring up sexual violence to the younger kids when you're trying to approach a topic in a way that's not going to scare them off, that's not going to shut them down? I'll offer one way in, but I really want to point to Shafia Zaloom, who is one of the most highly regarded sex educators in this country, widely published both in the lay press and also in the educational press. She teaches at Harvard School of Education. She is the real deal. She is quoted in Peggy's article. She is someone who has worked with us on our curriculum development. And Shafia has lots of wonderful answers to this at the ready. So I'm gonna point to her as a great resource. But one way in when kids are young is just to be clear that it's their job to figure out what they want and what they don't want, what they like and what they don't like. They don't know yet. They won't know yet. But that's what makes for the beginning of a healthy interaction, that they feel safe and comfortable saying, I like this, or this doesn't feel okay to me. And there are lots of ways into that conversation. There are lots of words that we can teach kids. There are words that essentially mean, no, don't do this. There are words that frame it more like, I'm not into that, but I'm into this. But when you're 12 or 10, you have no idea what you want or like. So just empowering them to begin to think about, this is a journey you're going to be on where you figure out what feels okay to you. And when someone is telling you to do something that hurts, that doesn't feel okay, where there's a power dynamic, you're allowed to say no and to get yourself out of that situation. And that's really where a lot of the anxiety is for the parents and caretakers of younger kids, is like, how do they get themselves out of that situation?
Right. And in that case, again, we're not talking about these kids having sex and trying to figure out. We're thinking about these kids roughhousing on the schoolyard and like, oh, dude, don't hit me there. That really hurts. Or at a sleepover and people are piling on each other, you know, making a human pile and somebody's stuck underneath and it feels like they can't breathe and it's unsafe. Or
Spin the bottle, or 7 minutes in heaven in the closet.
Right. I mean, and right, we don't even know how much kids are playing that, or you may not have a kid who's socializing that way, but you might have an athlete who's being pushed to play with an injury. And so you're going to help that kid to say, you know what, it doesn't feel that great today. I'm going to sit out. Or, I mean, we talk about how with little kids, how they want to hold hands and play with each other's hair and sit in each other's lap. And middle school kids are not that different. Or think about the hugging culture. I mean, the hugging culture of kids, some kids are huggers and some aren't. And kids these days, there's so much more hugging. So it's like, hey, I noticed your friend hug you the other day and your face did not look like you were enjoying that hug. Like, what would you say? So with the younger kids, it's about finding other scenarios or the sort of on-ramp romantic and sexual scenarios. You may or may not have a kid who shares that they played Spin the Bottle or 7 minutes in Heaven. So you may not know what they're up to or not up to, but finding other scenarios where issue, you know, topics of consent and respect and comfort and safety come up. There's a million examples every single day in these kids' lives. Now, when the kids get older, and you may have a kid who comes home and says like, hey, me and my, you know, boyfriend or girlfriend were like having sex and can you help me get this? And can you help me be safe with this? And can you help me blah, blah, blah? Great. Like, it's wonderful for people who have children who are in conversation. Not everyone's kids are going to let them know when they are engaging in, you know, intimate or sexual stuff. So you have to get ahead of it and have the conversations in the hopes that when they make these choices, your voice is in their head, other trusted adults are in their head. And so, Carr, I think we should talk about like what those conversations sound like with older kids.
I love that idea. I want to put a little asterisk on the comment you just made and say, if you are in an unhealthy relationship, if you are on the receiving end of violence or aggression, there are resources out there. There is support to be had. It can be extraordinarily hard for a number of reasons to reach out for that support. But when, especially when parents or trusted adults recognize what they're modeling for the kids in their lives, that is often the motivator that they need in order to start to get that help. And we can link to some resources in the podcast for people who are looking to get that kind of intervention support structure in their lives, therapy.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard from so many adults just this week who are like, looking back on my sexual relationships when I was young, I'm realizing more and more how non-consensual they were, how unsafe I felt, how I was experiencing pain and didn't advocate for myself, how I froze and didn't feel like I could literally get the words out to ask someone not to do something. And so I think recognizing what we're walking into, each of us, our own baggage, and some, for some of us, they were beautiful, loving, consensual relationships. And for some of us, they were not. And knowing what lens we're coming to this with is really important.
One of the resources that we've talked about on this podcast before, but I just want to highlight, is One Love. They do a wonderful job of talking about healthy relationships and understanding what that looks like, and also unhealthy relationships. I encourage anyone who's listening who hasn't gone to that website to take a look. And for people with younger kids, Amaze is an organization that makes fantastic video, short form video content, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, where they address a whole range of topics, but they address healthy and unhealthy relationships in a particularly relatable and reliable way. Okay, so let's do a little bit of conversation before we wrap. Vanessa, you want to start?
Yeah, I mean, so one way, and we mentioned at the top, which is I read this op-ed in the Times. I was really surprised to learn the kinds of rough sex that people are reporting having. Is this anything you've heard about? Is this anything your friends are talking about, right? So again, we're not going through the front door and straight up the stairs to our kid. We're going through the side door. We're stopping in the kitchen. We're getting a glass of water. We're knocking on the door and asking them if they're around, right? Like, we're baby stepping in. So that's one way.
And if they say no to that, that does not end the conversation.
Correct. Even though they think it does.
They think it does. So they may be saying no because they really have never heard of it. And they may be saying no because they are so not into this conversation. And that is a point where you can say, listen, the statistics in this article are really mind-blowing. So if you haven't heard about it yet, it seems pretty clear that you'll hear about it soon. So we're going to talk about it. Right.
And there's a third scenario of why they're saying no, which is it has happened to them.
Oh, for sure.
And they are scared to tell you because they are ashamed, or they're worried you're going to get angry or you're going to get upset. So there's any number of reasons why they try to shut down the conversation, and you know your kid best, so you will navigate what to do next. But again, it doesn't end the conversation. It just informs your tactic. So for some kids, statistics are really valuable, right? For other kids, a new piece of data that you learned. So for instance, I was not aware of the brain changes.
Oh, this was incredible.
This was incredible. And Debbie Herbernick will talk about this when we have her on, but they can literally see brain changes as a result of people having been choked in sexual interaction.
It's more than that. The brain changes look exactly like CTE, which is the same brain damage you get when you are a football player or an athlete who uses their head repeatedly. So it's micro trauma to the brain. It's unbelievable. We will get into it in the future because that's going to be another way into the conversation. It is a very effective way into the conversation, which is, have you heard of CTE? Have you heard of what happens to professional football players when they have multiple tiny concussions? Did you know that that can happen when someone is strangled, or you can use the parlance choking, which Vanessa is exactly right. It's not, doesn't perfectly describe what this is, but that might be the term they know. The oxygen is cut off. Therefore, there's a mini little burst of oxygen deprivation and it can cause brain damage. Like, that's an amazing way in. Now, that's a fear-based way in if you're not careful. So if you're going to use that way in, I would go to the science of it. I would go to, talking about how oxygen fuels the brain and why oxygen flow is important. One fun fact is, why do we pass out and go to a horizontal position when our brain is starved of oxygen? Because we're trying to get blood to flow passively to our brain to get more oxygen up there. So that's one like sciencey way in where you can explain, you know, the body is designed to get oxygen to the brain always. That's the default, most important path of oxygen in your body, is getting it up to the control center, the brain.
And the third suggestion I have, which is, kids are very well versed in mental health and depression and anxiety and all sorts of stuff. And they're aware that it's a real struggle when people are dealing with depression and anxiety, and the downstream mental health consequences of choking, again, in this research, and other rough sex, including, as we often talk about, the impact of rape and sexual assault. These can have lifelong mental health impacts on people. And so coming at it from that angle, hey, I know we talk about mental health all the time, but what I found out was actually like this kind of rough sex can have really negative impacts on people's emotional well-being. And I think we should talk about it. So those are three ways in. If you've had a successful way into this conversation, because I heard from so many people who were sitting down with their kids this weekend, email us podcast@lessawkward.com. You may have noticed that has changed since the pubertypodcast@gmail.com. We're trying to get very professional here. podcast@lessawkward.com. Share your stories with us. Tell us how it went. Share with us ways in that you use that were successful. And this is a conversation to be continued.
Thanks, Vanessa.
Thanks, Cara. Thank you so much for listening. You can email us with questions, feedback, or episode requests at podcast@lessawkward.com.
If you want to learn more about what we do to make this whole stage of life less awkward for everyone involved, our parent membership, our school health ed curriculum, our keynote talks, and more are all at lessawkward.com.
And if you want products that make puberty so much more comfortable, visit myoomla.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.